The privilege of serving Krishna. Serving Krishna is a privilege. The eternal associates of Krishna Vrindavan, they feel themselves utmost fortunate to get the opportunity to offer their bodies, minds, and words in the service of Krishna. Everything they do is solely for Krishna's pleasure. This is describing Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world. How the Nityaparishads, the Parikars, Krishna's eternal devotees, Yashoda, Nanda, Sridham, Subal, Radharani, Sakis, Lalita, Vishaka, what is their mood? The Brijvasis feel that if they can't render service to Krishna, then their entire existence is worthless, meaningless, and useless. It's quite a paradox. Do you know what paradox means? Paradox? Huh? That's the Hindi word? Paradox?
Opposites.
Yeah, opposite. Opposites. Paradox. The paradox is, what is the paradox? What is the amazing thing? That slavery to the divine, to become Krishna's slave, to become a sold-out servant of Krishna, means to attain the highest, utmost freedom. This is a paradox. Usually if someone is a slave, then they have no freedom. They're controlled by the master. If you become someone's slave, if someone purchases you and says, you're my slave, and whatever he says, you have to do. Because he's paying you, he's purchased you. Like an animal, if you buy some animal, some horse, and he has to work for you. You hook a cart to him, you make him pull the cart around all day long, carrying loads. It's like an animal, soul-load animal. So this is the paradox. In the spiritual world, everyone is called divine slavery. Everyone's Krishna's slave. But by doing that, they experience the utmost freedom. The Braj Gopis are completely free from their attachments to all sorts of family, social, and personal attachments. Their sole reason for living is to please Krishna. They are thrilled and feel most blessed if they get a chance to serve Krishna in any small way. Now, this is an excerpt of a lecture I heard, and there's a nice story here that illustrates this point. In other words, Krishna is the divine master. He's the supreme master. God is the supreme master of everyone. And the Brijvasis, can I get my cheddar? It's over there. The Brijvasis, they consider that if they can render any service to Krishna, it's a great fortune. If they can make a garland, if they can fan him with a chamara, if they can pick some flowers, if they can do anything, they consider themselves very fortunate. So there's a nice story in this regard in the 1920s about the father of our country. Who's the father of our country? That's right. Is that a question mark? Or you said it with a question. Now, the father of the country is Mahatma Gandhi. So in the 1920s, he was invited to England to attend round table talks about India's problems. Maybe you remember, it's called the Knights of the Round Table. No, I mean it's round table talk. Round Table Conference, 1927, London. Were you there? I wasn't even born then. Last life, there you go. Right again. Before Gandhi went to attend this famous conference in England, the Round Table Conference, what happened? Thousands of very intellectual and highly qualified, bright young men, they contacted Gandhi. They wrote him a letter and they begged him for the chance to accompany him to England to be his personal servant. They wanted to accompany him on his trip to England and they wanted to act as his menial servant. Just help him in any way, carry his bags, wash his clothes, iron his clothes, or dhoti, whatever. Because they wanted that opportunity. So they're very qualified people, they were highly educated, but they were begging to get an opportunity to become a menial servant. Because he's such a big person, it was such a special occasion. The most qualified and cultured men of India we're trying to become, quote, a slave of Gandhi. They didn't consider it menial. They didn't consider it, was it bemeaning? Was it a word? Bemeaning? They didn't consider it insulting to become his servant, just a menial servant. They considered it a great privilege, a great fortune. Finally, an editor of the then famous newspaper called Hindu was chosen to act as Gandhi's slave or servant. So there was some newspaper back then in the 20s in India, a very popular, famous newspaper called The Hindu. Just called Hindu. The Hindu. And he was the editor of that paper, and he was also applying to become a menial servant or a slave of Gandhi on his trip to England. So he was chosen as the delegated as the slave or the servant, menial servant. And of course he felt very happy to attain that privilege for which thousands were hankering for, that one editor of the newspaper received it. However, so this is a little story. However, when we preach to someone that they should surrender their life to Guru and become Krishna's slave, they balk and resist, presenting a variety of illogical arguments. Krishna is the greatest, most famous master in the world, yet no one is applying for the post of Krishna's servant or slave. Whereas in the 1920s, Indians by the thousands and hundreds were competing to become the servant of a man. They were all competing to become a servant of some mundane person, limited person, a man named Gandhi. Everyone wanted to become his menial servant. But when it comes to the great master, the great lord, the most famous person, Bhagavan, then chalega. No one cares. No one cares about. No one's applying. So everyone was competing to become a servant of a man. But to serve the Lord, the Supreme God, this is not acceptable. This is considered unacceptable to people. Such fools cannot understand what is God. They say to accept the service of the Lord is slavery. I don't want to become a slave of God. I don't want to become a slave of some guru. What is this? Slavery to God, slavery to Krishna is the highest freedom. It's a wonderful thing. Among millions of liberated souls, only one soul can be found that has been accepted to become a slave of Krishna. What sort of slavery is that? What does it mean to become a slave of Krishna? It means to attain the guardianship of the supreme authority, an entity. That is perfection. In other words, if you become Krishna's slave, that means he's your master. You're his ward. He's your guardian. He's your maintainer. He's your protector. Like we have Rocky. Everyone ties their brother or something, Rocky. So when you surrender to Krishna, he's Bhoktaram Yagatapasam. He's a supreme enjoyer, supreme controller. So if you're on his team, then you can't lose. And you can never be short. And you can never lack anything. And never miss anything. So this is the proposal. For example, like a prisoner. If a prisoner is let out of the prison house, he's free from the prison house. But if someone... So if someone's in a prison, they get let out, they think, oh yes, I'm free. But if someone gets a good service job in the government, it's more than just freedom from the prison house. It is a positive thing. So dedication is a positive thing. But our idea is always fixed on exploitation. Our idea in the material world, we think by exploiting, we can elevate our position. This is actually a wrong idea. But this idea is entered into the essence of our constitution. We think we can only elevate or improve our condition if we are allowed to exploit our environment. We can't even have the idea that dedication is a positive prospect. Prema, or love of God, love of Krishna, means dedication. The degree of dedication and the degree of love is calculated in the spiritual world. Dedication is positive, but the present civilization, everyone is accustomed to exploitation, and exploitation is negative. So this is just some excerpts from some lecture I heard. And it's all about how by giving you go up and by taking you go down. So the whole idea, the thinking that we think, we've been trained to think, and our experience has shown us in the material world, if we don't fight for our position, and we don't try to get ahead of the other person, or defeat the other person, or exploit the other person, then we can't get advantage. We can't make a profit. We can't find a successful position or a happy, secure position. But the whole spiritual world, as I started, all the Brijvasis, they're all competing for the opportunity to serve Krishna. They're all so happy. Oh, I'll touch Krishna first. Like when Krishna's running, and then the coward boys are running behind him. They say, well, I want to touch Krishna first. Touch Krishna means that Krishna is running along the banks of the Yamuna, and he's running for so long, then he gets tired, and he's going to sit under one kadamba tree, and he's going to feel tired, so they want to... Touch means they're going to, you know, rub his legs and give him some malish to relieve his fatigue. So they're competing. Who will touch? Oh, I'll touch him first. No, I will. So there's competition to serve. Because the whole principle is, and everyone understands in the spiritual world, if I'm dedicated to Krishna, and I'm thinking about his pleasure and service, then automatically I'm taken care of. We've never seen anyone, we've never experienced anyone who dedicated their lives to Krishna was short or deficient in anything. This is our challenge. But we think, oh, this Krishna, he's dangerous, he's going to take your hair, he's going to cut your head off, hair off, take your hair. But he doesn't take anything. All that Krishna does is take away the burden of our anxiety. The burden of our anxiety weighs heavily on our head. We're anxious because we're not rightly situated. We're thinking, we're situating ourselves as exploiters when actually we're units of dedication. Each individual soul is a unit of dedication, and we should be dedicated to the center, and the center is God. But now we're dedicated to all, you know, false centers and false masters. We've dedicated ourselves to the body, that's a false master. We've dedicated ourselves to our senses, that's a false master. When we dedicate to Krishna, then we find a real master, and we find real happiness. So the proposal is that divine slavery gives freedom. When you become a Krishna slave, you become free from the body, free from the mind, free from anxiety, free from all attachments, free from anything material. Because Krishna is the supreme transcendence, the supreme spirit. So the offer today is, become dedicated, become Krishna's slave. And then you'll find real happiness in life. So if anyone wants to sign my slave contract, I'll pass out some slavery contracts. It's actually if you strip away all the ego, you take away all the ego and all the falsity that covers the Atma, you'll find that actually the greatest joy we feel is when we serve another person. If you genuinely serve another person, you do anything for anyone. Selflessly do anything. I'll just do it for the sake of doing it. No calculation. No, well, I'll do this and I'll get that. No, just pure service. If you actually purely serve in any capacity, cook a meal for someone, give a gift to someone, help someone, anything, you feel so good. If you actually can get, if you can transcend ego and all the veneer and coverings and layers of falsity that cover the Atma. Because that's the very nature of the Atma. The Atma is a serving unit, as I said, a dedicating unit. So the whole spiritual world thrives in that principle. The whole spiritual world moves around the principle of dedication. This is love. Love means dedication. Dedication to the center. The center is Krishna. There's one person. So there's no... Everyone's dedicated to the same person. And he's so expansive and so unlimited that he can reciprocate fully with every dedicator. That's because he's God. If you dedicate yourself to one person, then your dedication to another person has to diminish. If a wife dedicates herself to an illicit lover, then her dedication to her husband diminishes. Because she can't have, you know, power to dedicate everywhere. So this is and the material world which we're stuck in over here is all based on exploiting. Consumerism, I consume you and you consume me. Consumerism. Everyone's consuming. Consuming means, the whole term, the whole word consuming means exploitation. Consuming. Our very existence, we cannot maintain this physical material body without consumption. We have to consume and exploit and actually kill other entities to exist. Carrots, vegetables, fruits, they're living. Grains, they're living. We kill them to live. So that means, if you ask them, say, listen, carrot, Do you mind if I kill you?
I'm sure you won't say yes.
And he won't say yes. He says, hey, wait a minute, you're exploiting me. No, I have to exploit you. If I don't exploit you, then I can't live. And the carrot is in the ground. He's telling that Mother Bhumi, he says, listen, I have to take some minerals from you. The carrot is telling Mother Bhumi, listen, I have to take some calcium from you, I have to take some urea, I have to take some nitrogen from your soil. Hey, what are you taking all these things for? And the carrot says, no, I need all these minerals. I need all these minerals to grow. And the carrot is exploiting the sun. The leaves are taking sunshine. The sun planet is saying, hey, why are you taking my sunshine? No, I need this to grow. Then the rain is falling, and the carrot is going, and the roots of the carrot are pulling the rain from the ground. So every living entity is jivo jivasi jivanam. Every living entity is living on another. Everyone's consuming another. Everyone's exploiting another all the way down the line. You ever went to biology class in sixth grade? You look through a microscope and a little cell. They put a little thing in there in a glass. You look through there. You see a mitochondria and this thing and that thing and this vacuole. And this little cell goes like that, and there's another. It goes around another one. Bloop. So that even from this one cell to another, one cell is eating another cell. That's called catabolism. Metabolism. There's something called metabolism and catabolism. Metabolism means dividing and then growing, and catabolism means eating. You know? They say, oh, your metabolism is down. That means you're growing. Your growing is down. You've heard this. Metabolism. The opposite is catabolism. Catabolism means killing of cells. And metabolism means dividing of cells and increasing the production of cells, which is how you maintain and grow. If it's only catabolism, then you're going to go get finished. And that's what happens when you get older. More cells are dying instead of growing. So you get older and older, and finally it's, you know, that's it. It's time to start over. So this is a principle everywhere in the material world. But in the spiritual world, no one's eating anyone. Like some, we even have expressions like this. I don't know about India. Oh, you're eating my head. You know, this is a colloquial expression. English, you know, American slang English. Oh, this woman is eating my head. You know, I mean, she's getting on my nerves. She's just chewing me out. You know, eating my head. You know, so that's a fact. Everyone's eating. One person is just consuming and exploiting another person. And we say this is life. But this is life on the plane of misunderstanding. The material world is a plane of misunderstanding. This is certified. This is called Maya. Maya Dham. Maya means the misunderstanding. Maya means Maya. Maya. That which is not. Maya. Maya. That which is not. In other words, this is a plane. Plane means a platform. I don't mean this kind of plane. Means the plane, the platform, the area of misunderstanding. This whole world is full of misunderstanding. And we even have phrases like, you don't understand, do you understand? And they say, Lekin? No, not Lekin. What do you say in Hindi? You
Samjay.
Samjay. Yeah. Samjay. Samjay. Ha, ha, ji, ji, ha, ha. if you walk around and hear people speaking Hindi, every five words is Samjay, Samjay. Samjay, Samjay. And then if you go in the West in English, you understand? Something. Can you tell me again? Well, it's like this, like that, like, I think I understand. So it's a plane, it's a whole world of misunderstanding. Because it's the world is pervaded by ignorance. But the spiritual world, everyone's a slave of Krishna. Krishna's slave. Divine slavery. Oh, you people, you've given up your independence. You become a slave of Krishna. Yeah, it's great. You should join us. Dear, like you send a postcard when you go on a vacation. You go somewhere to Hawaii or somewhere, and then you send a postcard to your mother who's in New York City with 3 feet of snow and it's 20 degrees below zero in the middle of January. And you're in the Bahamas lying on the beach or Nassau or Barbados or something. And you send her a card. Dear Mom, having a great time. Wish you were here. It's a postcard. So devotees, when they become slaves of Krishna, then they send postcards to all the conditioned souls. They say, dear conditioned soul, I have become a slave of Krishna. Having a great time. Wish you were here. So therefore, that wish takes the shape of pravachan. That is our karun, Vaishnava karuna. Vaishnava kripa ambudi. Vaishnava kripa ambudi. Ambudi means sindhu, sagar, ocean. Kripa means mercy. So they feel some karuna for the conditioned soul, so they preach. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari 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 Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dari Jaya Girivara Dari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dari Jaya Girivara Dari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dari Jaya Girivara Dari
Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dari
Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jaya
Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jaya Braja Janaranjana
Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jaya Braja Janaranjana
Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jaya
Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Kunja Bihari